Welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Hello out there, and welcome to Your Next Mission video podcast. Today, we're going to talk with a very special guest about the rapidly ever-changing pace of the U.S. Army, including how technology is influencing that pace and how we are preparing today's Army NCOs to adapt. But before we do that, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback, and USA, where we take care of our own. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision, together they make Your Next Mission happen. They love our veterans and families. If you listen to the show or seven every week, we love them too. I'm excited to introduce our very special guest today, the 17th Sergeant Major of the Army, my friend, Michael A. Weimer. Yeah, I'm going to make sure I give you applause right off the bat here.
All right, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. I'm not going to pull a U. I'm going to go, that's good. That's good. No, it's really good to be back with you. It's been a little while since I've done one of these with you.
Well, it's been too long, and we just, I know you're busy. I appreciate just taking the time to come on the show. Hey, just like always, before we get started, I think the audience wants to know, and I want to know. Let's tell the audience a little bit about yourself.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm the 17th SMA, which is crazy to say, even over two, you know, we're approaching almost 3 years. This summer, I'll be 3 years in position, and it's still, it's still some days, I don't think it'll ever fully sink in. The responsibility of this job is tremendous. There's 16 other folks on this planet, some of them aren't with us anymore, that know what that title means and what it comes with. Yeah, I just come off the Hill before coming to sit down and do this with you, with five meetings with five different Congress men and women for testimony prep, because I'm on the Hill again next week with the House. And so, but that's now. I didn't start off like this. I started off a warfighter. I was encouraged and motivated by the Vietnam generation. I loved our MACV. Vietnam generation, and then my father served and my grandfather served, and so I wanted to be a soldier, you know. In particular, I wanted to be a Green Beret, and so that's how I started my journey, after dabbling around a little bit at the Ohio State University as a cadet, and then came in off the street. You know, I'm an off the street SF guy. I'm pretty proud of that. Not sure I would always recommend that route for everybody, but it is my journey. So yeah. I got to own it. But you know, a lot of time in seven special forces, well, a fair amount of time in seven special forces, and then a lot of time in the JSOC community. So that's really me. If I could end with the most important thing that matters to me, I've got an amazing wife that I married 1 September 2001, and we have two amazing daughters that I couldn't be more proud of. So there you go.
Hey, I was going to say, I got five great grandbabies and two granddaughters. So I know I love kids. I love family. I love my wife. And let me say again, thanks for coming on the show. And I just appreciate you taking the time to do it. Hey, the NCO Corps has always been called, you know this, I know, that the backbone of the Army. As warfighters shift towards, you know, the AI systems and multi-domination operation, how are we preparing today's non-commissioned officers?
Wow. Well, you know, to some of your listeners who have listened to me before, you're not going to be surprised with my first answer. And that is, you better be really good at the basics. Technology's never removing that. Don't fall for that. We're watching it in CENTCOM right now, and we've been watching it for almost 5 years in Ukraine. The technology's going to make us more lethal, but it's only on a solid foundation of brilliance at the basics, period. I'll go to my grave on that one. But for the NCO, what I like about the watching these young NCOs, and I'm smiling, you know, because I just spent 10 days in Alaska, three of them in the bush, spent two nights out. They couldn't get me off a snowmobile up there at JPRMC with 11th Airborne. I saw grit in these youngsters, SMA Tilly, that would make you so proud, so proud. And so they've got the tenacity, the grit. They're smarter than I was at their age, period. They're just smarter. They're inquisitive. And so when you bottle all that up in today's NCO, the backbone is strong. It's strong. So now what are we doing? What are we doing to enhance that? We got to make sure that our PME is right, right? We got to dial our PME in. We've got to understand data. We've got to understand what, you know, what does generative AI mean? We got to understand how databases talk to each other. We got to understand modern ways of communicating. We're software-based, not hardware-based people. Like, they have to have those tools. And then all that stuff I talked about up front just makes them more lethal.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one of the things that is really sort of funny that when I was growing up through the Army, the one thing that I always preached in the Army was the basic fundamentals of being a soldier. And in fact, when I first got on an M1 tank, I told them, I said, hey, look, if this system breaks, what are we going to do? You got to be able to shoot. You got to do that. Just a basic fundamental. Yeah, yeah. And I'm glad to hear that. And I know you was doing that already, but I'm glad to hear that you really emphasized that a great deal. So that's important.
Yeah. So our CTC rotations, like, right, we've got them. We're transforming our CTC rotations so that we can run those NCOs through their paces in a controlled environment where you're allowed to fail to learn, right? So that's another one. And then we've got to keep, as an Army, we've got to keep up with the changing pace that the character of war is evolving right now. It's crazy, right? And so that's our job at the, you know, Department of Headquarters Army, you know, and how do we get that down into the hands of, you know, young Buck Sergeant Tilly that's, you know, in 1st Armored Division trying to be ready for the next fight.
Oh, wow. Hey, I got the Transformation in Contact initiative is a really a significant shift in putting new technology in the hands of soldiers everywhere. How are soldiers, and they're probably adapting pretty easy because soldiers like new equipment. Are they adapting to the change pretty easily, I guess?
They are. I love Transforming Contact. When General George and some of our close staff up here came up with the concept, and again, I'll probably get myself in trouble for this, but it's very soft-like, right? We experiment in training and learn and speed the process up. Well, one of the pieces that was missing was, where are the vendors? Where's the engineers? Where are the people that own the equipment? That they weren't always with us on the journey, right? And so we'll give you bottoms-up feedback. I mean, how many times when you were a division CSM, we provided bottoms-up feedback, but I don't know where it went. I don't know what anybody did with it. And I never got any feedback back down from the bottoms up feedback, right? That's all changed. The vendor, the new equipment, the engineers from the vendor, they are all out there with our brigades, battalions, companies, and troops. And they're taking that feedback. Some of them have the ability to change it on the spot. Like on the spot in the ones and zeros space, make a change. Some of it is stuff that's got to go back and it's got to be changed back, you know, on the assembly line. I use GM Defense, and I don't know, I probably shouldn't use a specific vendor, but I'm going to use GM Defense because they've been fantastic with the ISV. That infantry squad vehicle is just fantastic. They've been out there with us, literally talking to Specialist and Private Weimer and Tillies of the world, who said, hey, you know, when I'm under nods, these lights are blinding me, or hey, I can't find these switches under nods. They're taking that feedback, and the ISVs we're issuing now are changed based off that feedback from a year ago. So they're making, that's the speed in which the change is happening from soldier input.
Yeah, that, in fact, that's the way it should be. I remember a couple of things. You know, think about when you're talking. One is, you're right, when I was a division sergeant major, I used to give all that feedback and I never got anything back.
The never other got thing any, is, never heard anything.
No, no. Oh, no, no. And the other thing was, you know, going to war, when we get into places that, you know, your lessons learned and stuff. And I used to say, how come we can't change our training doctrine based on what's happening on the ground in war? And they go, well, it takes a while to change this stuff. And I said, wait a minute, you got computer systems and all that stuff. That's crazy.
Absolutely.
Why can't we change it on the, you know, that's it drives me nuts doing that. But I'm glad to hear that you guys are doing a lot quicker. Go ahead.
Oh, and Combined Arms Center, CAC as we know it, right? Lieutenant General Eisenhower's out there right now with CSM Sean Carnes. That's their baby right now. They are transforming how the Combined Arms Center updates everything from, you know, PME, because they own all of our PME officer and enlisted, all the way to our Capstone Doctrine. And by the way, Capstone Doctrine, we should be slow to change our Capstone Doctrine. When we change that, that's a deliberate decision, right? But how are we not doing that with artificial intelligence to help us be faster instead of, I call it, like, I'm still sharpening number two pencils.
Yeah. That used to drive me crazy. And they'd come back and say, well, we can't do that. It's a long, drawn-out process. So I'm glad you did.
And now, I don't know if you know this, but, you know, all the CTCs now belong to Combined Arms Center. So now when General Eisenhower and team makes those changes for the Army under the T2COM construct, then that immediately feeds into a CTC. And when a CTC identifies a trend in, you know, let's say four RTUs go through and they identify a trend, that feeds right into the Combined Arms Center. And so the symbiotic relationship right now is exciting. And I think it'll help us keep up with the changing character of war.
Well, and you just hit it on the head. When you talk about war, our enemies change pretty quickly based on our doctrine. And we got to continue to change to make sure we have a better force on the ground out there. So, man, I'm glad to hear all that. I know you guys are doing great stuff, but I really love it. Hey, you emphasize the need for tough, realistic training at home station, not just during the CT rotation. You said that just a minute ago. What does that look like in the modern technology advancement for the Army?
Yeah, so we don't always get this right. But when we started transforming contact, we knew that, hey, we've got to go fast. Almost fast to the point where it's a little bit disruptive. We were going to assume a little bit of risk there. And we did that with the 101st. Well, we've gotten a little better now. We're almost about to start year three of transforming contact. And so our model now is to try to get it into the hands of the troopers at home station prior to a CTC rotation. So we'll use the mighty 101st, right? We use Screaming Eagles. So they have an event that they call Lethal Eagle. It's fantastic, right? It's been around for a few years now. But so they're taking Lethal Eagle and they're doing their initial transforming contact training at Echelon with vendors. The scenario I explained to you before, like, hey, the vendor's here, you're going to use this UAS and you're going to go into the field for 3+ weeks here at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, and you're going to test and validate all this stuff, learn, fail, learn, and then you're going to be more prepared to infill into the box. And so we don't waste, Mike Weimer's personal opinion, we are wasting less time for the first 72 to 96 hours of an RTU rotation with the basics of like shaking new kid out. We can do that at home station. And frankly, you know, if you were the company commander and I'm the first sergeant, we ought to be able to have the ability to go out into the field at our home station and train like we're going to fight. And so between Marn Focus, Third ID is another great example. Taking the division to the field. You want to talk about disruptive. That was not a GWAT thing. And so there's some pain in doing all that. But now that they've done it more than once, this new generation's like, hey, we're going to the field. Kind of like, you know, the old RTEPs, for our generation.
Yeah, yeah. I stayed in the field when I was a young soldier. I thought there was nowhere else to go but the field. I'd love being in the field, but I also love training the way you're going to fight.
Well, it was so hard to draw ammo. I mean, and you remember back in the day, we didn't get all this ammo that we're used to getting during the global war on terror. And so when we got ammo, we took that incredibly serious. We did more crawling and walking. Getting actual ammo was the running, right? And so, you know, people have heard me say this. I mean, the amount of time you should spend dry firing.
Yeah.
Before you live fire is the difference between taking full advantage of the live ammo, because that's money, that's time. You're going to get more out of the live ammo. It's the same with going to the field at your home station.
Yeah, yeah. The other thing I'll tell you, we got to take a quick break, but there's no second best in our profession. You can't be number two. When you train, it's train the way you're going to fight. Be ready to do what you got to do. And I told somebody a while back, I said a bunch of things, in our profession, you either win or you lose. And if you lose, you're dead. And there's no joking about this. We got to do what's right for our military and for our country. Hey, we need to take a quick break. I'd like to talk about warrior mindset and some of the main issues facing our soldiers and families. So please, I know you're not going to go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Okay.
This is your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major Army. If you're enjoying this, I know you are, because we're talking about war fighting. We're talking about saving the lives on the battlefield. We're talking about the basic fundamentals of being a soldier, but we're also talking about AI and technology and how that's going to improve us on the battlefield. Remember, we're all part of a family. We got to stay together. We got to fight together. And we got to be ready to win our next war when we go to war. Please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. And be sure to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming podcast releases. I'll be right back after a word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Their members are the mission. Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. And USAA.
A century ago, our founders made a promise to always take care of their own. That promise is still at the heart of everything we do and why our members know we'll do what's right. Because at USAA, we take care of our own.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking with the 17th Sergeant Major of the Army, Michael A. Weimer. Hey, now, Sergeant Major, would you talk to us about warrior mindset and what it means to wear the uniform of the United States Army?
Ooh, that's a deep one. That's a good question, right? Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good one. You know, that literally starts all the way back to a MEP station, right? When you took your first oath, you know, which is why that oath is in the blue book, right? You know, and we reference the Constitution and that oath and what do those words mean, right? And you know, I'm not sure. Even I was fully committed as an Army brat, but I'm not even sure I fully understood, you know, every line in that oath and you know, was quoting, you know, the Constitution. But over time, I started to learn that, you know, this means more than just college money. Like, serving your country is a big deal. The 250 years of lineage that we represent wearing this uniform, right? And that's why I'm passionate about history. And I know not everybody's excited about history, and you don't have to be excited about it, but in this profession, you need to understand the responsibility we have wearing this uniform, being a member of this profession, and all those lives. You know my house. My backyard is Arlington Cemetery. I get a reminder every day I'm not on the road, you know, what sacrifice really is. And unfortunately, I was just up at Dover to help honor and receive six of our recent fallen heroes. But again, what does that mean if you're Private Weimer and you haven't experienced that and you don't live with your backyard as Arlington Cemetery? And so as leaders, we have to make sure we're teaching that, we're coaching it, we're modeling it. That's why I'm passionate about what it means to be an NCO. I think it's our job. It was your job when you were in, it's my job now, and every Sergeant Major or NCO that's listening to this podcast, it's our job. I don't expect you to be fully committed. I don't know about you, SMA Tilley, but I don't like all our rules. Some of our rules I think are sometimes ridiculous. That's why the chief and I are on a warpath to get rid of some of our ridiculous rules so we have more time to train and actually be the lethal warfighters that we're supposed to be. But some of the reasons we do things are right. I shine my shoes because it matters. I represent the United States of the Army. I get a haircut every minimum of 8 to 10 days. Why? because I'm the Sergeant Major of the Army, and I represent this profession. I got more haircuts as a Sergeant Major of the Army than I had in my last 20 years of time in service. But yeah. It's important.
Yeah.
It's important for me to do that and what it means and what I represent as a Sergeant Major of the Army. And so you don't just volunteer one time. You volunteer, and then many of us volunteer again, and we volunteer again. And I think when we do that and we take that oath each time, and I was proud to take the oath that General McConville gave me to be the Sergeant Major of the Army, number 17, it was good for me to hear it and repeat and reflect on what that means.
Yeah. You know, when you was talking about that, I was thinking about, you live in a glass house. Everybody's watching you all the time to be right.
Everything.
As you step out, no matter what you do, they're always watching and seeing what you're doing. Hey, in today's Army, what are some of the main issues facing our soldiers and families?
Oh, wow. Oh, well, yeesh. It really, you know, honestly, I could take the next 30 minutes on that one, right? I mean, some of it, it's not all bad. I don't want to be, you know, but again, I will be extra candid. Our troopers that volunteer for this profession deserve candor. They deserve the truth. When it's not popular, they still deserve hearing the truth. So, you know, barracks, that's a hot one right now. I mean, we are not in a great way with our, you know, 6,700 plus barracks facilities that we're responsible for as an Army, right? And, you know, if anybody's bored, they can watch, you know, my HASC-M testimony on the 25th. Whenever this comes out, it's, you know, the testimony is supposed to be 25 March, but you're going to hear about our barracks. Barracks is a real thing. You know, troopers deserve to live in safe, clean, functioning barracks. You know, I didn't say they deserve to live in, you know, the Four Seasons, but they absolutely deserve safe, clean, functioning barracks, 100%.
Absolutely.
And I feel their frustration. They deserve, all service members and family members deserve access to reliable quality health care, right? And so that's one that we're addressing, all the service CELs and chiefs are addressing, right? And we're trying to work with our DHA teammates because they've got a huge responsibility in this, the Department of Health Agency. And so we're all working towards that common goal. So there's a couple. Food strategy is a big one. Got to give Fort Hood Bistro a shout out, the new campus style dining. Is a huge hit, right? So now how do we take that across our entire giant Army so that everybody can benefit from our new food strategy that we to be honest with you, the throughput at the bistro at Fort Hood right now is, like, we knew it would be successful, but honestly, catastrophic success right now down there.
Yeah, we had Robert Irvine on the show here not too long ago, and he was talking about all the stuff he was doing with AMC. But he's great. He's a wonderful guy, and he's a straight talker too. He doesn't cut any corners. I really like him. Hey, what is the single most important skill a young sergeant needs to master in today that might be different from you required of you or maybe even me when I was coming up through the ranks? That for me is a long ways away. Probably you was a better case here.
Well, that's a really tough one. I'm take a second here. So it is very different than your generation and mine. To be honest with you, I'll use my generation. You could be really fit in my generation, especially in my line of work.
Yeah.
And you could be a bit of a knucklehead and you could still be successful.
Yeah.
I will tell you, in 2026, with what we're asking our troopers to do to be really ready, you cannot be a one-trick leader. You have to be adaptable. And so I end up going back with, you better be adaptable and you better be curious and willing to continuously learn. If you'll do that, again, the basics are always going to be there, right? If I got to talk to you about being fit, then we've got a different problem. This is a different conversation. But when you're talking to me, I got a room full of people that are taking their fitness seriously. You know, they're taking the basics seriously. My next level of professional development for them is, you need to be adaptive. You need to continuously learn. Be curious. Don't settle for the status quo. because these youngsters are going to challenge your leadership and they've got brilliant ideas. And so how do you stay relevant, be adaptive, and continue to learn?
Well, if you don't adapt, you're outdated. You're outdated. I mean, that's of anything I did when I was in the military, I came in the Army with an M14. I left with an AR. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I have to adapt to the weapon system, but you got to adapt. Hey, we need to take another quick break. When I come back, I want to talk about transition both within the military and coming out of the military. I'll be right back. Now, here's a word from one more of the organizations that helped make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Quality insurance will set you up for the rest of your life. And I think that's what Blue Cross and Blue Shield has demonstrated for decades.
It adds to your longevity of life because we want to be there for our loved ones. We want to be there for our family.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with the 17th Sergeant Major Army, Michael A. Weimer. Remember, this is your show. We know there's so many issues that directly affect you, and we're talking about them right now. And we want to address each and every one of them. So please, let me know what you want us to cover. You can leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll reach back out to you. Sergeant Major, let's talk about the importance of transition in the military before we walk about the journey from military to civilian life. How does someone transition from a young soldier that enlists to having 20-plus years in the service? I think that's a great question for you there.
Cool. Yeah, I mean, I'm at 32 and some change right now. My wife probably knows exactly. Yeah. I honestly, probably much like you, I stopped counting and somebody just finally told me one day, hey, you realize you're at 30 years. I'm like, holy cow. It goes by quickly. People have heard me talk about the journey from compliance to commitment. And if you've been through the pre-command course for, battalion and brigade level, then I know you've heard me talk quite a bit about that, but it is a journey. And I think it's a little different for everybody, right? My journey, it's kind of ebbed and flowed, to be honest with you. I started off super committed, right? But again, my father did 27 years, my grandfather 36. I started super committed, and then I came in and I was a little disappointed. And so then I wasn't as committed as I thought, and I almost got out. And then I had great leaders that approached me and said, hey, what's your plan? They encouraged me. They didn't quit on me, and they saw something in me. And then so I stayed. And then lo and behold, I'm at 20, and then I almost got out again because, I didn't get married until I was almost 30 years old. And so I was pretty selfish young staff sergeant in the beginning.
Yeah.
Just to be, again, the spirit of candor, I was pretty selfish. I got married. Guess what? There's no room in a relationship like that to be selfish. That's going to work itself out or it's going to fail. And I didn't want it to fail. And so I had to figure that out. Then we had our first kid. And I had to figure that out. And so, I use a picture of a set of scales, right? And you have my intrinsic motivation. The scales were bottomed out. I just wanted to be a Green Beret, a badass Green Beret, to be blunt with you. Right. Well, then life happens and the scales kind of, all of a sudden money matters I'm deploying like crazy. I got two kids and, and then, oh, by the way, my wife had her own set of scales and we had to figure out how two scales become one and we had to figure all that out. And so my problem that I had was once I was committed, I had a good friend of mine. I'm going to give Kevin a shout out right now. I don't know if he'll watch this. Kevin used to accuse me of being a lifer. You remember that term, SMA Tilly? Lifer?
I'm sure people call me lifer. Go ahead.
I have not heard that term in a long time. But when I did the podcast with Ranger Rick Merritt, unbelievable warfighter and human being, it kind of popped back into my mind about being a lifer. And I guess I became a lifer, and then I had to figure out how can I be a truly committed lifer but bring my family along on the journey, right? And so I will tell you, each time, that's why I'm passionate about battalion level sergeant major should know every single soldier entering their ETS window. Every single. And you should be having conversations with them, you know, before Sergeant Tilly and Specialist Weimer even think about what the next journey looks like, potentially with ETS. And my leaders should be talking to me. And you're seeing a little bit of this with our new merit-based retention strategy, right? We want leaders to be engaged. Leaders now have to evaluate and actually speak to where does Weimer and Tilly fall in their tiers for reenlistment. So now you have leader engagement. And troopers that go from compliance to commitment early, I think we should honor that. I think we should absolutely honor that. And that's part of the spirit of merit-based retention. Because you remember, retention for you and I was all the same. I could be a below average performer, but I wasn't barred from reenlistment. You could be a high performer, and we get the same everything offered to us when we go when we go see a career counselor. That's ridiculous. Yeah. That is not merit-based anything. Yeah. And so we're changing some of that. And I get really excited when I meet young troopers that are committed, because that's what we ask them, right? We say, hey, the oath you took, the Constitution, the purpose in this profession, the honor it is to serve your country. So how do you reward them when they actually listen to what you and I are talking about right now? And they go, hey, you know what? I'm all in. And oh, by the way, they're fit. They're really good at their job. They're hunger to be an NCO because they want to lead and develop others. And so I love that question, because everything I just articulated does not happen overnight. It takes time. And so leaders have to invest in us, each one of those chapters in our life, in our career.
Just a couple of things I'll throw in there. One is I like competition. I like it all through the. I may not be the fastest runner. I may not be the best shot, but I'm going to compete and do the best I can. And the other thing you got to do is you got to communicate with people. They've got to trust you as a leader. And if they don't trust you, they're not going to follow you. And if they trust you, they'll do anything for you. And then it goes back to what you said, and we said it a long time ago. It's about the basics and making sure your people that you're working with are ready to go and fight and win our nation's war. And that's the kind of stuff that I loved each and every day. And you're really right. When that time in the Army came, when I hit 18 years in the Army, and I said, geez, I can't believe it. And then it's 20, then it's 26. I said, well, I'm getting out. And then things just sort of changed. But I enjoyed every day of it. Yeah, go ahead.
And that's SMA, I'll tell you, I've looked at, you know, when you become the SMA, you look at past SMAs and you look at their career. You know, we've had some really good conversations about that. There's a theme with the majority of the SMAs, and you become why leaders. Like, I guarantee when you were a division CSM, you explained why things are important. Why is this standard important? Like, you took the time as a leader. Those are the leaders that convince young versions of ourselves that, one, they're valued, right? And then, two, here's why this is important. And then next thing you know, you get young troopers to go, hey, I'm committed to this. What other team am I going to want to be on? One, they value me in this team. And then two, holy cow, this has purpose and meaning. And so now, whether it's get a haircut, it's, hey, you should be a little more fit, or hey, you need to work on these things. Because remember, not all feedback's going to be positive all the time, right? Yeah. I mean, constructive feedback sometimes can be interpreted as negative, even though it's not. Yeah. But they will respond when you're the leader that's engaged, you see them as a valued teammate that you would go to combat with, and you explain the why to them. And this generation is responding. I go back to, you know, minus 20 in Alaska, and I'm watching a company on company, force on force, in minus 20 and 4 feet of snow, and they're just getting it.
Well, I love talking to you. I'm just sitting here thinking, leading by example, be approachable, communicate, talk to them, go to where they're at, sit down and talk to them, let them know what's going on, be honest and straightforward with people. Don't cut any corners. If you're messing something up, and don't kill them. If you're screwing something up, teach them how to be what's right. You know, when I look back at my military career, I messed some things up, but I always had a sergeant or a lieutenant there, probably usually a sergeant, that would get me straight and get me in the right direction. And I love that. the fact that they care. And the other thing you said a while back, somebody somewhere seen that potential in me.
Yep.
I may not have seen it myself. That's right. Well, I may not have seen it myself, but they seen it. Hey, look, I know you're a busy guy, and I don't want to take a whole lot of your time here today, but I'd love to talk to you for a couple hours. This has been a great discussion, and I appreciate coming on the show. Any final thoughts, anything you want to share with the audience that maybe we haven't covered?
Yeah, I think the last thing I would add, and this really kind of speaks to, I know something you're super passionate about, and I'm becoming incredibly passionate about, is our transition when we take the uniform off. The same mindset, SMA, that we're talking about right now, the same mindset that makes us successful as committed warfighters for whatever the length of time, right? There is no time standard set to honorable service. One enlistment, two enlistments, 20 years, 30 years. There's no time limit on that, right? You served your country, and if you served honorably, I want to know you. Right. But I think we have a tendency to think that I have to have a different mindset when I transition to the civilian world. And I disagree wholeheartedly. That warfighter mindset that made you successful, made you more disciplined, it made you focused, it made you a great teammate, it will absolutely make you successful when you take the uniform off.
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, the thing, I 100%. I mean, I do the same things running a small business. I sell on a small company. I do the same things I do in my company that I did in the military, about talking to people, about communicating, let them talk to me, being straightforward and honest. No, I agree 100%. And the other thing is, people worry about getting out of service. Well, don't worry, because there's guys like me and you, maybe a couple of years there, but it'll be out there that'll help those men and women
Absolutely.
That are getting out of the military as much as we can. Hey, look here. It hadn't been long enough. I didn't get you on the show long. I wanted you a couple hours there, but you had a tight frame there. Hey, thanks for just jumping on and talking to us for a little while. I appreciate
Absolutely.
It. And you know, the door's always open. Please come back anytime. And if you want to bring your boss, we'd love to have both of you come on. But thank you for what you're doing, what you continue to do. And somebody said the other day, is the sergeant major of the Army that replaced you any better than you? I hope they are. Everyone that comes behind me, I hope they get better and better and better and better.
They have to be.
Because we got the best Army in the world because of our non-commissioned officer corps and our officers and
agree.
And women.
I
and
agree.
And our families. So, yeah.
I appreciate you. I appreciate what you continue to do.
Well, I'm going to do my part as long as I can. And I'm always here for you. God bless you. Again, go Army. Thanks for coming
Beat
on the
everyone.
Show.
Beat everyone.
Absolutely. God bless you. Hoo-ah. Thanks again to Sergeant Major of the Army Michael Weimer for being with us today. I'm Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and you've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for joining us. Log on our website at yournextmission.org and check out our job board in partnership with the Recruit Military and Opline, where you can create your own personal profile that will match you with just the right job real time. You can follow me on my personal social media pages, Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And if you like what we're doing with Your Next Mission, please click on that subscribe button below. Don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about our upcoming video podcast releases. Remember, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilley@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Sergeant Major of the Army Weimer for joining us. I know I've terribly busy he is, but it's just great having him on the show. And if you aren't pumped up, if you don't see how our Army is fighting for us and cares for us and wants to do the best they can, have the best trained people around the world, that's for you and for me. I say it all the time. We raise our hand. I'll protect and defend the Constitution of the United States. I've told you this before. That means that I'm willing to die for your freedoms. I'm willing to take a human life for your freedoms. That's our Army. We love our Army each and every day. And I'm just proud to say I served and proud to say I'm doing all I can. And we should do all we can to help our great Army each and every day. Thanks for watching. And thanks to New Mind Studios and, of course, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, USAA, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEB Dental, and Blue Cross Blue Shield FEB Vision. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, see you on the high ground. Hoo-ah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.